Welcome to Real Talk with RJ and Matt. Join us each week as we break down merch by Amazon and print on demand with some of the top sellers on the platform. Learn from some of the best as we test theories and examine strategies to give you the tools and knowledge to find success in this industry. This podcast is sponsored by Merch Informer. Take your merch game to the next level by finding untapped niches and high sales volume keywords. Save hundreds of research hours by heading over to merchinformer.com and grab a free 3-day trial today. Links in the description below.
All right, so everyone, we got Cassie on the show, and then we have a special guest appearance. Can we say that? Aaron?
I'm just here for Cassie. Oh,
okay. Everybody else should be here. She has your back.
I'm just kidding.
All right, so, okay, we start the show with just to start with the last 7 days. So 295 shirts sold at $887 in royalties.
Nice. You're doing way better than I am right now. We're at 165 for $421.72. Slowed down a little bit last week or so for us. But we need to also start uploading a lot more stuff. So, Cassie, you can share it if you want. If you don't want to, that's totally fine also.
Go to I actually don't now pay attention too much on a daily basis. I think I'm like at 124 for the last 7 days.
Gotcha. Well, let's get into it. So for those of you that don't know, Cassie has been on the platform for a while, almost since the beginning, right?
July of 2016. So
right.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. She was one of the people that actually got to go to Amazon with the Golden Ticket event, got to actually meet with Amazon, see the process, everything else. But, you know, she's been around for a while on the platform. She's very, very knowledgeable about anything that goes with merch, also with FBA. Like, in fact, FBA is actually taken over for merch is kind of your main thing, right?
Yeah, FBA was first with me, and I've kind of gone back and forth on the two platforms as far as like what I'm focusing my time on, but currently FBA has blown up for me, so that's really where my focus has been.
Right. Yeah, I know that when we met you out in Vegas earlier this year, that's kind of where you were struggling. You were trying to figure out how does merch fit into this world where FBA is so busy for you. And I think that's where it's interesting for a lot of our audience, because I know a lot of our audience does other things, right? Like they do FBA, they might do eBay, you know, merch for them is a side hustle. So like figuring out how that all fits together and how it works for you, I think is something that a lot of us struggle with.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with that as well. It's hard to kind of find that balance between, you know, what's making you the most money and what's really the most fun. You know,
right.
Merch is probably the best community to be in, and it kind of almost keeps me a little bit sane because can you guys hear that? Stop it. So that's it's probably my dog, but it's probably my 5-year-old twins egging her on. But yeah, merch really kind of keeps me sane because the community is so tight knit, and you know, it's hard to kind of, even though FBA is, you know, I could be making a lot more money just focusing strictly on that. It's hard to really get out of the merch mode because there's so many cool people that we have in our community, and it's way more fun.
Right. Let's go back to the beginning. Like, how did you find merch? Like, how did you end up starting off in merch?
So I found Amazon FBA first, and I started my business really, really fast, like super fast. Like, I started Amazon FBA in like November of 2015, mm-hmm. and quit my job and went full time by January.
Oh, wow.
Of 2016. So super fast, kind of went all in, and in the process of just trying to, you know, figure out the best direction to go, came across merch through Chris Green and just being in that community. And so I signed up for merch I think maybe like February or March, and was accepted but didn't know about it for a little while. And then I actually started kind of hearing about people's successes, and so started really looking into it, you know, July of 2016. So.
Gotcha. Then do you have any kind of background in graphic design? Like how did you start off doing like your first designs?
Yeah. So I don't know anything about graphic design. I don't know how I've sold so many shirts. I don't know anything. I just kind of figured out the easiest path, which was hiring a designer. And luckily I was able to find like an exceptional designer, like straight off the bat. So she's really been, you know, my shining light in my business, both my Amazon and my merch business. She does a lot of work with both, and I would attribute probably a lot of my success to her and her design skills. So,
right.
And then, where'd you find her? Where'd you find your designer at, if you don't mind sharing with everybody?
I don't want to say.
Okay. No, it's okay. You don't have to.
I don't want to say because I don't want to get in trouble. Yeah. I found her on one of the platforms that you're not supposed to go off of.
Okay.
I found her and we were working together, and we started working together, and she's like, hey, why don't we, you know, you can pay me through PayPal. So we quickly went off of that platform, and she's kind of been with me ever since. So
RJ's perfected that method of going off the platform very quickly.
Yeah. Because like, for example, like on Fiverr and something like that, if you send like an email to like DM, they will actually like, they'll kind of like give you like a warning, or if you share like any type of information through like the DM to try to get them off the platform. So what you do is you share a spreadsheet, and you guys can like basically just talk, like write out a sentence in there and then tell them, hey, I'll pay you through PayPal instead of working through this.
But yeah, it was a similar kind of situation. she approached me about it. So, you know, back then I don't think it was as strictly enforced as it is today. So yeah. It works.
Now, do you just have the one designer? Do you have, how many people do you have in your operation?
I just went through a bit. I always go through these spurts of hiring. And normally when I hire, I'm like, why hire one when you can hire 15? So I have probably 7 or 8 currently.
Okay. And they're all designers, or are they doing different roles?
I have my main designer that does a bulk of the design work, and then I usually will carry maybe one or two other people that have design skills that can maybe just do some like really basic stuff for me. And then everybody else is kind of just administrative.
Okay.
Preppers or bookkeepers or whatever else I need for the business.
Gotcha. One of the things that I know that I particularly struggle with is, you know, in terms of outsourcing, how do I get all of these people to work together as a team, right? Like, how do I build in the operating procedures that they know what their job is so they can, you know, replicate it and do all of those things? And I know that's one of the things that you've talked about is like, you know, defining your business and defining the people's roles in the business. How did you learn how to do that?
Well, I don't know that I'm necessarily an expert at that or even do that well, because it's really quite difficult. But, you know, you kind of just figure things out as you go. I kind of always like built the plane as I was flying it. So, I mean, I think it's really just about like learning different tips and tricks. I think that masterminds, I'm in a really good mastermind with some very smart people, techie people. And so I just learned different software tools or whatever. Mary, who's in the merch community, she introduced everybody to Airtable. and I've integrated Airtable in my entire business. So everything that I do, as far as like private label or merch, everything is built through Airtable. So Airtable really kind of keeps everything very organized, and it's easy to kind of set up a system through that platform. So that's really been invaluable to me recently.
I do everything pretty much like the old school way still, it's just through Skype. That's pretty interesting though to use Airtable. I really never really used it, but I hear a lot of people using it in like Mary and stuff like that.
Well, I do still use Skype. We use Skype and Slack, and I mean, we don't communicate necessarily through Airtable, but Airtable's great for workflow. I used to strictly be on Trello, but Trello's not very good for maintaining files. I've got, you know, boards that have thousands of designs kind of stuck in Trello, and there's really no way to kind of get them off. So with Airtable, you know, you can download from G Drive, or, you know, it integrates a lot better with a lot of other platforms. So
is Airtable similar to like a Dropbox? Or is that like a completely different?
Airtable is kind of like, it's kind of like Trello. If you're familiar with Trello, it's kind of like Trello with Excel kind of merged together. If you've never used it before, it's like the most glorious thing ever. You really need to learn it. Like, it's awesome. It's super functional, super easy to use. Like, there's no place else where I would put any of my data. You can put files, graphics, you can, you know, have lines of text. It's amazing. I can't say enough good stuff about it.
I keep meaning to talk to Mary about it, to dive into it, and I just haven't like taken the leap. Yeah. It's one of the things that, so one of the reasons I was really interested to have you on, Cassie, is because I know that you have multiple things going on, right? Like, you have your FBA business, which obviously for you right now is primary focus, right? But you're still doing merch and you're doing all these other things. And we're struggling with some of those same things, right? Like, I have my pool business, which right now this is my busiest season. We have merch. We also have Etsy. Like, so we have a lot of different balls up in the air. And it's a matter of how do we organize these things and create efficient processes? So a lot of this stuff happens without me having to do all of the other stuff, right? Like, having to micromanage, go over all these things, constantly check. Like, how do I make my life easier?
So I think that the best thing that you can do is whenever you're throwing a task to a virtual assistant, there's, you know, really cheap software out there that can record. I mean, you know how to record your screen, obviously.
Right.
So I think doing videos is a really good, I mean, for me, it's quicker, faster, easier than trying to maybe not communicate in the right way to someone that this is not their first language. So I make a lot of videos and share my screen with them that way. And then from there, you can have, once they kind of learn a new task, then you can have them take, you know, some time and actually write down, like, step by step, what is your task? And I mean, what that does is not only does it kind of document what they're doing, but it can also kind of, you can see flaws in how they're doing things. Maybe they're missing something. So I would definitely, if you have a virtual assistant that's working for you, have them go through their daily tasks in a step-by-step manner. And then you can take that document and then you can make that into a process from there. So you don't even really have to do all that documenting, just have them do
their
documenting.
And I think that's like one of the biggest problems, because I know you were talking on Facebook, you did the video about, or I think it was just a post about SOPs and like how to, like, you know, and I kind of said, I just feel like we just keep throwing stuff at VAs because we're I feel like we're always playing catch up and we're always like, oh, you know, we're so behind on merch. We want to do all these things. And it's just like life happens. And then like we have all these other things that we're doing. And so sometimes I feel like it's so disorganized and it's like, I don't even know what our VA's tasks are, because I feel like they're all over the place. Like, it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's like an organization issue mostly.
It is. And I have the same problem. I can tell you guys how to do it. It doesn't mean that I implement it 100%.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just trying to pinpoint what those tasks, what they are, and then documenting them so that when you need to fill that position again, you have everything kind of written down in one place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it take whatever they do for you, have them write that down. I mean, it would not be very difficult for them to do that.
For sure. Yeah. What do you do with yours, RJ?
Yeah, I think with that is, well, the main VA, like the, if you can consider him like a manager, right?
Yeah.
You can always do all the training and stuff like that. Leave it all up to him. Because like he's obviously getting paid the most, stuff like that. I just like with the onboarding part, just kind of more about communicating. Like you want to communicate with like your main VA and tell him like, okay, if you can do this, and you know what I mean, set them up in a private chat on Skype or Slack or like whatever platform you're using to communicate with each other. If you just set them up and then like let them work together for like about a week and see how it goes. But for the most part, like usually there's always something wrong, like. My VA will argue with the other VA. I'm just like, oh my God, here we go. It's like, cause he don't get something right. If he don't get something right, he gets mad because he don't get it right. And he told him 3 or 4 times already and he's not paying attention. He's not listening. So it's just like a process thing. And always the first month too of training somebody is going to be the most difficult.
For sure.
Yeah. Definitely true. Yeah.
I still feel like we're in the first month and we're not.
That's not true. We have some fantastic VAs.
No, we do. It's more me. It's more like I just, yeah. I want to get better at being more.
And then also, too, it just comes down to, like, time management. Because sometimes I get mad at myself. I'm just like, man, what is, like, what's going on? And then at the end of the day, when you get it done, you're like, basically, it's my fault because I'm not, like, being better with my time, and like I'm not managing myself better, you know what I mean? So that's just another thing too, because at the end of the day you're just like, got that done, now it's go time, like let's move forward from here.
Yeah, I would say I'm probably the biggest bottleneck in my business. I mean, for sure, if I could, but I try to take on way too many things all at one time. I started an Etsy store the other day after a whim. I got it open. I don't have anything in it, and I probably won't go back to it for a while, but that was my Friday. So, you know, I'm probably the biggest bottleneck of my business, but yeah, it's just trying to figure out the best way to keep them moving forward. And ultimately then, you know, you get your work done and they get their work done. So.
Right. So you've started up an Etsy store. Are you doing anything else on print on demand or is it just merch right now?
I have a Redbubble account, which is, you know, I haven't added to it, but it generates a little bit. And then I've got a Teespring account, which I have no idea what, if I've sold anything on there. I haven't logged in months.
Did we sell with Teespring?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's about it for me.
Gotcha. So with merch, how involved are you daily in that business?
A lot more than I probably should be. Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. I feel like I spend way too much time on merch in general. If I could do merch just full time, I know that I would be doing crazy sales. But I just don't have time for the research, and I haven't been able to find anyone that can do the research as well as I can. So I would say that, you know, if I'm in merch at all, it's trying to figure out what's selling, and my VAs do most of the uploading, and we're working on pop sockets pretty heavily right now. So
gotcha. What tier are you on right now?
10,000.
Okay.
How many live designs do you have? Like how many designs do you try to get up a week, or do you upload every single day, or do you have the VAs upload for you every single day?
I had, going into this month, I probably had about 3,500 live We're in the process of re-uploading a lot of our stuff that's dropped off. We're for reasons
the worst
be determined later, hopefully. But you know, I've been invited to some beta programs, and so I'm kind of trying to bulk up my get my account back up right now. But a lot of stuff dropped off after the first of the year because it just kind of went by the wayside. But now we probably upload a couple hundred a day, mostly pop sockets. We're just converting a lot of our files and uploading those right now.
All right, so with the pop sockets suit, are you having success with the pop sockets right now, or how's that going for you?
Pop sockets sell. So yeah, I mean, I have more pop sockets than I actually see on my dashboard. So I'm assuming that they are doing well. It's hard to say.
So not even looking at it, huh? So you don't even care. They're uploaded. I'm making sales.
Well,
I actually know why that is. So I understand what you're talking about. Yeah.
So they're not, yes, they're selling very well. I don't know exactly how well. That makes sense. Probably not.
But that's fine. When it comes to FBA, how did you get started? Like, how did you just see a YouTube video? Did you, what gave you the idea to like do it?
So, I was in a really, unhappy, job, I guess you could say. I've been with my company for 5 years and, was really not liking the direction that I was going, and I wanted to be at home with my kids. They were little at the time. So we were looking into, you know, business options, and one morning I was laying in bed looking at Facebook, and a video popped up for some Amazon business, like Startup Bros or something. So I watched their webinar and I kind of just started researching, and I had an hour commute to and from work. So I would just listen on the way to work and on the way home to different webinars and podcasts and anything that I could really consume on YouTube, basically. And, you know, that's really kind of how I started. So started sending in shipments in probably late November, and my first day on Amazon, where my products actually were live, I probably made $800 in sales. But it was December. It was like the middle of December, and I had bought a bunch of toys. So I was like, oh, this is great. I'm gonna quit my job and do this full time. And then January rolls around and sales are still going. And so I'm like, I'm gonna quit my job. And so I quit my job. And then it went down. But
that's supposed to happen, though. Supposed to happen.
Well, yeah, it was supposed to happen, but I didn't know that. You know, like, I didn't know how. I mean, I know that, you know, fourth quarter and Christmas and sales, but yeah. So, but it was actually really good because it showed me the potential that Amazon had, and so I knew from that point that if there was a will, there was a way, and I could definitely, you know, I could do it. You know, it wasn't as difficult or mind blowing as everybody thinks starting a business is. It was really quite easy to just get get the whole process started. And then from there, it's just been 2.5 years of just trying to figure things out. So.
Gotcha.
Going really well.
Are you, go ahead.
No, I'm just gonna say, add some stuff to that. Like a lot of people like think it's easy, and it's not easy. Like there's times where you get your ass kicked and you feel like giving up, and that's supposed to happen. You know what I mean? Like everybody thinks like this is a scam. This is like easy work and stuff like that. And it's not, it's pretty hard because you have like your very low days sometimes. And when you have your low days, you just got to snap out of it. You got to figure out, like, I don't know. Like I'll go watch Ninja Turtles. I'll do something that made me happy when I was a kid to snap out of it. And I'll go watch Ninja Turtles. Like I'll watch Back to the Future. You know what I mean? Like I'll do that just to remind myself, like, okay. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And then next thing you know it, you're back in grind mode again. You're go, 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 all about go. So sometimes it's very hard. So don't get disappointed. Don't let yourself down. You know what I mean? So very important.
It's hard. I mean, it's really, it's a lonely business to be in because you're at home behind a computer. I mean, for me at least, and you know, you do have, I've had those days where I've, you know, been just, you know, wanting to just go, let me just go get a job. I'm going to quit this. It only lasts for a few hours. And then I'm like, screw that. I don't want to quit to work. But yeah, I mean, it's not easy. I mean, I would say that I spend probably the majority of my time trying to figure stuff out now. It's not even like packaging up products or, you know, doing the research myself or any of that stuff. It's really just trying to systematize everything and figure stuff out. So I think it's fun and not fun at the same time.
Right. I mean, this is kind of the conversations that we've been having behind the scenes, right? Like so we enjoy this. Like I enjoy merch. I enjoy doing all the interaction, everything else. Right. But at the end of the day, like, my business is what brings in the money. Merch is not what brings in the money for us. Like, we do okay, but it's not like a huge thing for us. And it's like, how do I take this and systemize it and build out a process so that I can remove myself? Because I agree, I'm the bottleneck in the business, much like you are, and remove myself from it so the business can continue to grow. Because I understand the business. You know, I understand how it works. I understand how the research works. I understand how to get the designs, everything else. Like, so it's time for me to now train other people to take over and start really growing our business.
I think the research part of it is the hardest. If you can find somebody that can do research for you, I think that that's golden when it comes to merch, because I don't think that you can do merch without that research. Right. So, and finding someone that thinks exactly the way you do is really hard. I mean, it's just you almost have to decide whether or not it's going to be perfect or whether it's, you're just going to do it, you know? And for me, I've not had the opportunity to really like find someone that is excellent with research. So we just kind of throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. Mostly. So.
Yeah. I know RJ has gone through that with, cause you had a researcher, right, RJ?
Yeah. We got a little bit of argument, and he was like, researching WWE shirts, and I was like, what the hell, dude? And then my guy's like, do I make this is okay? And I'm like, no, you don't make that. It's like with the research part, it's like, no one, I don't see how they don't understand it. Like, you have Google in front of you, you have Etsy, and then like, and like you show them like how to do it and stuff like that, but like they seem to not to get it. I don't know why.
And maybe it's a cultural thing. I really don't know, but
that could be it right there.
It's not, it's just not the same.
Yeah, for sure.
What's in your head is not, you know, what's in my head, what's in their head. So it's just, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to us, but I just don't think that it makes as much sense to them. So it, you know, I hate to be hard on people, but it's hard. It's rough. That part of it, you really have to be in the research phase yourself in order to really grow your business. So, I mean, I still do all of the research for my FBA business.
Right. I mean, I think it's the most important part of the business. Like, I really do. Like, it just identifying, you know, where there are opportunities that there is demand, but there's not a lot of competition, finding, you know, spots where you can find, you know, an opportunity where you can get in early and really corner the marketplace, whether it's, you know, with the pop socket designs and finding where there's not stuff out there, or even in merch. There's still plenty of opportunities in merch if you actually understand how to do research to look at something and, you know, understand we need to design for this because there's a lot of demand there and there's not a lot of competition, because that's where you get your sales.
Or trying to figure out like, okay, this is what's selling, but how can I flip that around to make it something that's new and fresh and maybe put a twist on it.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's something that we can all do because we see it every day and we've been in it for however long we've been in it, but it's just not that easy to train. So.
Yeah. Let's see some of the comments in here. Jacob. Yeah. All right. You guys, If you guys have any questions for Cassie, go ahead and drop them in the chat, and then we'll go ahead and ask her a few questions.
Are you doing, were you doing any AMS for your merch shirts, Cassie?
We started AMS. We did start AMS. We had a little bit of a setback last year in my family. So we kind of had a little bit of a break from merch. And because of that, I lost one of my key employees that was doing a lot of that stuff for me. So, and it happened like right in Q4. So we, I've never really rebounded from that as far as my merch business went. But so we haven't really gone back. Amazon FBA was just kind of, you know, it was doing really, last year was crazy. I can't believe I sold as much as I did last year in Amazon. So it's just hard to like switch gears, especially with, you know, us being, not being able to upload and then sales dropping off. And so, yeah, we never really got back into AMS.
After right. That. I mean, it doesn't really matter right now. I know a couple of people that still have access to it. Most of us sponsored products are shut off, and then you just have access to headline ads and product display ads. Are you doing anything with that, RJ?
No, they're all shut off, and I'm still making the sales. It's all kind of weird.
I've actually seen kind of an uptick on like some of our new designs selling over the last like week or two since I've noticed that like there's not as many sponsored product ads out there, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Facebook ads though at one point, and honestly, they didn't seem to do the ads didn't seem to do well, but it really did seem to boost my sales overall. So I don't know if there was any kind of correlation in driving that traffic, but it seemed like it did help quite a bit to run some Facebook ads. Although I am not by any means good with Facebook ads. I was kind of around with it, but it seemed to me that, and you guys know I do a lot with Pinterest. I think that the more you really drive traffic from outside of Amazon, really do kind of see your sales increase overall. So
yeah, I think it's actually a big part of the algorithm now is, you know, outside traffic, like, because Amazon loves it, right? Like they're experts at taking that traffic, and whether it sells on your listing or something else, they're experts at taking that traffic and converting somewhere on their website. So they definitely want to reward, you know, people with that are leading outside traffic to their stuff with more sales. They want to, you know, give that incentive to have people drive traffic to the site. So that's, you know, we're definitely working on our Pinterest account. Like the goal is to have that built up to the point where at Q4, it's something that's significant for us.
Just one more thing.
It is just one more thing.
It's always one more. There's never not going to be one more thing.
No, because that's the thing. It's not just the platforms that we're on and the uploading and the listings and whatever. It's the Instagram. It's the Facebook. It's the Pinterest. It's like all those other things that go along with it to get it moving. You know, it's like the whole train, and it's just there's never enough hours in a day ever. But it's still fun. It's just like, there's so much you want to get done. You're just like, oh.
No, and then also too, that's what it comes down to, is just writing things down. Because honestly, like I have like 20 tabs open sometimes, and I'm giving myself a headache. I'm like, man, what am I doing? What did I do that for? Like, come on, just focus on one thing at a time. Spend an hour on that. The next thing, an hour. No, I'm horrible at doing that too. I hate it, and I piss myself off, and then I have to go outside or go for a drive just to go for a drive because my head's all.
Yeah, I just start drinking.
I'm just straightforward to the point. Like,
we'll get some detachable headphones after this.
I'm sorry.
My grandpa, he's at the bar. And he invited me. They went karaoke started at 2.
Like, oh Jesus!
Karaoke at 2.
Yeah, that's what I said too. And I was like, I have a live to do at 6. I was like, this is not a good idea. It's really not a good idea. So come on, come hang out with me, son. I'm like, no, I'm
that's
not.
That's the great thing about what we do, because you can't go to the bar at 2 o'clock if you wanted to, if you didn't have kids.
Yeah,
like me.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, so from Cassie, advice for people that are in the lower tiers. Like, what would you recommend for them getting out of the lower tiers?
Okay, so I'll tell you my biggest secrets. This is what I did. I begged people on Facebook to buy my shirts. I begged them, and it worked.
Sliding into DMs, huh?
Like just your friends, like your friends and family, or okay.
Like I guilted them.
Yeah.
Like, buy my shirts. I'm starting a business. I need your help. Buy my shirts. And I would design them just for my friends and family. Like they would say, yes, I want to buy a shirt. And I'd be like, what do you want on it? And I figured, you know, what better way to like get a niche idea than to have someone tell me what they want on the shirt. So I would, you know, people would, they'd be like, I want a shirt that I can wear to the gym. Okay, cool. So then I would research gym shirts and I'd be like, have my designer make them something. And then I would send it to them. Do you like this? And they'd be like, well, kind of. And then they, you know, so it was kind of good because I kind of figured out what people liked and what they thought was cool. And I got some good ideas for other shirts. And then I would just mark them down for, you know, cost, mm-hmm. you know, and they would, at the time it was like maybe like $10 to buy a shirt. So they would buy a $10 shirt and I would make a sale and, you know, they would have something that they feel special in because I made it just for them. And so that worked. And then from there, I, you know, asked people on Facebook if anybody needed any kind of fundraising. So I had a college friend that his son was in Little League and they were trying to raise money for his Little League team. And so I did a couple designs actually for him. And he would share it to all of the family, you know, family and friends and everything. And then the teammates, family and friends and everybody. And I ended up selling probably 60 shirts that way. And then of course, then it just snowballs from there because, you know, Amazon's like, oh, she knows what she's doing. And she's selling not just 60 shirts, but 60 of the same shirt. And then, you know, that kind of just got everything sort of moving for me. So, I mean, I still think that magic could probably happen for anybody that's got, you know, that's in the U.S. and has a friend that they can sucker into buying their shirt.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's super powerful, right? Like, so you have a relationship with that person, and everybody needs apparel, right? Like, you'd be amazed how many people, like, you have a family, like, how often a shirt for school or a shirt for an activity, a shirt for a field trip, like, thinking outside the box and not just thinking, like, hey, I'm just going to stick this shirt up here and it's magically going to sell and I don't have to do anything else. Like, putting a little bit of extra work goes a really long way.
Yeah, definitely.
I actually had a couple, a lesbian couple. They went to the Seattle Pride thing, and they took a picture with they've got two shirts, and they took a picture with both of them all together, and they sent me a picture. So that was pretty cool. That was just like recent thing that just happened. So I'm not sure if that had anything to do with what we're talking about.
It really didn't. That was RJ just going off into space, but it's all right.
I just popped in my head. Had to say it.
Well, it kind of did because she was talking about how she made shirts
for
people
and
they felt special. So those people felt special. They took a picture and sent it to him. It was close, RJ. It was fine.
I saw that picture. Matt. I saw that picture on your Instagram the other day. I just wanted to mess with you.
I know. I went over to visit Matt and Aaron, and Matt, he beat me. He was cheating on Mario Kart the whole time we were playing.
It's not cheating that I'm better than you, bro.
He was drifting around the corners and he didn't tell me that trick and he was beating me every single time.
He told me that trick.
It's just like merch. I didn't have anybody to like tell me I need to do exactly this. Like I figured it out. I was like,
how are you going around the corner so fast? He's like, oh, you drift. Oh, okay, now you tell me.
Now we're really out in space.
He's like Fast and the Furious over here.
All right. So
when you guys are listing, Cassie, do you have like multiple brands that you list to? Do you have one specific brand that everything's under, or do you like have like branded niches or like, you know, keywords in your brand?
So I actually, when I went to the Seattle conference last year, and, you know, they talked a lot about brands, and I had it in my head that I needed to switch everything over to one brand. And so we took the time and we switched everything over to one brand. And I honestly think that that was a horrible idea, just horrible. Because I really feel like the, you know, you get more good juju when you have Braxton going to the room. Take Ginger. Sorry.
That's okay.
Go. I think you get more good juju when you've got your one shirt here, and then you've got also look at these other offerings from this brand, you know. But when your brand is so huge, they're not going to show everything. And when you've got thousands of designs up and we go through a period of time where nothing is selling, then it makes your entire brand look bad in the algorithm. So I think that really hurt because I was selling a lot at one point, and it's just tanked. Now, a lot of that is like uploading and maintaining and all of that stuff, and really kind of getting things rolling back after after we were kind of shut down for a while. But I would definitely not recommend going all one brand. I think it's better to have, even if you have niche brands, like I think that's way better, because then you have like a group of shirts that might show up in the search underneath your shirt, whatever shirt that they're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, too, with that, I think Amazon told us that we should have all of our shirts under one brand, but I should have asked why. That was probably like one of the most important things that someone should ask why, but no one did. But I still stuck quiet, but I try to figure out why. But like, I honestly think having like a niche brand is actually makes a lot of sense too. Just like that way you can just compete with each other, compete with yourself. And just, you know, if you're not making a sale over here, you're going to make a sale over here. But I really just something that you have to test too. So I don't know.
It's really well, my explanation. It didn't work.
Yeah. I mean, so we ran into the same problem that Cassie did, where like we had just a shit ton of shirts all under one brand, and we saw the exact same thing, right? Like, so we have shirts for like weddings, for example, right? And then you're seeing shirts for, you know, dogs or whatever underneath is other stuff from this brand, and it makes no sense to the consumer. So that's why we kind of switched away from that and gone to more like branded niches, where we keep all the stuff together in that niche. So it's all, you know, when they see the customer sees that other stuff from this brand, it all makes sense.
And I did notice, like, I think it was like our Groundhog Day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was a small niche, and almost every single thing in that niche sold on all products. It sold on hoodies, it sold on long sleeve, it sold on t-shirts. And it wasn't like a huge niche, but I mean, it was crazy. As soon as we put them all together, it was just like, oh, that's a new one. Oh, that's a new one. And it's just, it was crazy. And I feel like it's because they could see mm-hmm. the ones down below or
click in the brand and see all the stuff.
Yeah, I just, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Interesting. So are you guys like in the description, are you putting like click on the brand for more shirts or something?
Yeah,
like
that, are you still doing that?
Yeah, I do that.
Oh, I'm always listening. I don't know
either.
trying to catch them up in the line, guys.
I thought you didn't.
She's almost done with that glass, so she's, you know, becoming an expert.
Orange too. Where you get in trouble too. When you do little things like that, I try not to do those little, you know, people make recommendations about, oh, I put you know, that sizes run small, and then everybody does that, and then now you've got thousands of shirts that you have to go back and edit. So I really try not to do those little things. I try to just kind of stick to, you know, describing the shirt and making sure that it's got all the keywords in it, and then leave it at that.
Yeah, so, I think it's only in the description, or used to only put description it in the description. But Amazon, I thought you didn't do that anymore.
No, it's in the description. Amazon said it's okay.
All right. Well, it could change, though. You never know. Amazon likes to change things up.
That is true.
So.
Yeah. Cassie, how about keywords? are you doing any type of like keyword research or anything like that, or how are you going about looking for your keywords and stuff like that?
We use Helium 10 to do our keyword research, and that seems to be pretty good. You know, honestly, I have a ton of shirts over a lot of different niches. I wouldn't say that I have any like real, I mean, I definitely have niches that are much wider now than they were, but moving forward, it's going to be groups of shirts in a specific niche, and then using the same keywords over and over on all of those shirts. But it hasn't always been that way. And a lot of my shirts actually don't have any bullets at all or descriptions. It's just a title. And for a long time, that was fine. I think now it's not as good. He wants to be on YouTube. So Helium 10, I think, is awesome. I use that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Manny Coates, everything that I've ever like listened to the guy talk about or do anything has been amazing. So it doesn't surprise me at all that Helium 10 is really, really good. Yeah. And it makes sense for you because you're doing the FBA stuff too. So it incorporates with your other business.
And that's a good point. You know, a lot of my merch and FBA life kind of merge together because I find a lot of, you know, I can do research for both at the same time. So I find a lot of ideas, you know, when I'm doing FBA research, and I find a lot of ideas when I'm doing merch research. So I put a lot of that stuff together. So I, you know, you come across niches just being in Helium 10 or in any kind of keyword software, you find good stuff in there. So I definitely utilize that a lot.
How about, I'm not sure if you're, would you have any tips on like pop sockets, like sales, anything like that, or like any tips for like the audience about pop sockets? Or you don't want to go into detail about that?
I'm going to give you, tell you what's selling. I think that
like, what do you think? What are you thinking when you're researching for pop sockets, basically? Like, what do you any type of like research like that you do, or you go to the store and look at the wall?
Graphics work better than text. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, like when I first started researching pop sockets, there wasn't a whole lot of competition. So I would just put everything up. But now it's, you know, you've got so many people that are in that have access to pop sockets. So, I don't know. Honestly, I don't think anyone really knows what sells better on a pop socket than, you know, on a t-shirt.
And I think there's not a lot of, like, if you use like Merch Informer or whatever, like there's not a lot of info yet, you know? So,
well, I mean, the only people that are really up, well, before last week, the only people that were up were beta testers. So mm-hmm. Beta is much different than, you know, having pop sockets on your dashboard. You're kind of limited on what you can actually put up. And,
right.
You know, so it's just different. So there's wide open niches. And I mean, anyone really could be successful. Take what's selling currently for your t-shirts and then just put those on a, you know, redesign them for pop socket. Not necessarily throwing everything that's on your t-shirt designs onto a pop socket, but going out and looking for nice quality designs, because some designs, I mean, you take a square design and you put that smack in the middle of a pop socket, it's not going to look as appealing as something that you designed to maybe curve around around pop sockets. So I think the people that'll do better will be the people that, you know, really take the time to actually design specifically for pop sockets, as opposed to just kind of like recycling designs that they already have. Not that those won't sell, But I think the ones that look like they're made for pop sockets will do much better.
Yeah, I think that's like, because Matt was kind of using the resizer and we were kind of doing that, but I was kind of spending some time to create like new designs, and I felt like they fit a lot better, and like it just, because you're thinking about designing on that, it's small, so you're like, okay, it's not as big on a shirt, and it's, you know, circular, so it just, you have to think differently about it. So it's been fun though to do it. It's like something different.
And it really is. It's more, I think people are more, it's easier to have a very artsy pop socket as opposed to, I don't think that people want word art as much as they want something that's really cool. So it can be a pattern, a cool pattern, or an image of something, and that's fine for people. In fact, I think that they prefer it over something that's, you know, text and funny. I mean, it's just, it's a different sale. It's a different type of product, you know?
I went on a date with a girl who went to go eat sushi, and she was talking about her pop socket, and that's when they first came out. I was like, these people really buy these type of things. And it was a draft. It was a pink background, but it had a draft. Don't get any ideas. It was a draft blowing a bubble, and a bubble gum bubble. So I was like, why'd you pick this for? He was like, it looks cool. I think it looks cute. And I was like, okay. So then I was like, you know, you can do a monkey. You can do all kinds of stuff after that. So.
Yeah. And it's really just, you know, finding artwork that looks cool. And I think people, you know, find that way more appealing than, I mean, you can obviously do some really funny stuff on pop sockets, but I don't know. It's kind of like cell phone cases. You want something that's kind of like you're proud to like show people, you know, everybody's going to see your phone.
Or pretty.
I have, this was from Amazon. You guys probably can't see it. I got that at the merch conference last year. So, I don't know. Just a dinosaur.
Let's see.
Do you guys have any questions for Cassie? Adam Young asks, I also do merch and FBA. Can you explain how you cross research for them both? Is it something specific to software? Maybe give an example. Or is it just something that's kind of organic that you just kind of connect things in your head as you're going through it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just making the connections in your head, honestly. You know, I think that it seems so simplistic in my brain, you know, well, if this sells here, why wouldn't it sell here? But it really, you know, people don't necessarily make those connections. So I think it's just being aware of what's selling. It's, you know, looking into the market, looking outside of Amazon. I did that a lot when I first started. I would stay away from researching on Amazon, and I would look other places, and that really has helped, you know, bring new ideas for me onto Amazon. So, and I try to like repurpose things almost. Like if something's selling really well on this type of a product, that would also sell really well on this type of a product, but it's not on that product on Amazon. So why not put it on that product and see if it sells? So a lot of what I do, you know, in Amazon in general is I test, I sample items. So when I do any kind of private label products, I buy a small amount and I send it in and see how it sells. And if it sells, then I keep it and scale. And if it doesn't sell, then I move on. And so I kind of do the same thing with merch, you know, kind of see what sells, and then if it does really well, then scale the hell out of it.
Test, test, test. Like we say that so many times, it's just, you got to understand, it's just a mentality. Like you have to think about everything that way, that everything is a test.
Yeah.
And not be afraid to lose money because, you know, with me, I don't design anything myself. So everything that I do, I pay for everything. So can't be afraid to spend money because you, I mean, you're going to make that money back tenfold later.
Right.
So you just have to kind of find that sweet spot. And then once you find it, then just go after it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, for sure.
So Ron's got a question. You may not know the answer to this, Cassie, but he's talked to me about this too. So his older listings, he's finding that they're not indexed and he can't search for them by ASIN, like stuff from 2017. Do you have any idea if he was to update the listings, if that would help to get it to re-index?
I mean, you could probably just delete it and try to start over from the beginning. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you could try to do that. It might be just as easy just to take it down and put it back up. I mean, right. I don't know.
Little Village Pickers. Yeah, John Balcazar is right. You just need an authorization letter from the nonprofit that it's okay for you to do that with their contact information. So you need an email, phone number, and then you need to send that in to Amazon. I don't remember what the email address is, but I'll find it for you, and I'll have RJ add it to the notes. Any other questions you see?
No, that's pretty much it right there.
Cool.
That's pretty, yeah, that was a real good show.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So straight to the point on everything. So, yeah, and then we'll be uploading this, too, to the podcast. Yeah.
For sure. Cassie, are you coming to Seattle?
I'm going to be in China in the beginning of August, and I'm probably going to Seattle. Although, am I invited? I don't know.
I'll make sure that you get an invite. So,
it'll be my birthday.
Well, and we should make sure that you come to Seattle so we can celebrate your birthday.
Yeah.
You know, there we go. Perfect.
I'll celebrate for you if you don't go. Just kidding. Yeah. Okay. Well, Cassie, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah. Thank you for sure. Yeah. Like, Cassie is a wealth of knowledge. Like literally, like anytime I see her, actually, you know, when she has a free moment and she can contribute in the groups, she always provides some really, really good info. So thank you for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
All right. Then everybody else too. Thank you for tuning in and watching. Give the video a thumbs up and share it. Appreciate it. And yeah, that's it. Everyone have a good night.
That's it. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thank you.